This is 89.1 WEMU. I'm David Fair. The Regional Chamber has been holding its annual policy conference on Mackinac Island this week, and we're going to take you there for what's been going on this week. Rick Plute is Managing Editor and Capital Bureau Chief for the Michigan Public Radio Network, and Rick covered the Gubernatorial Candidates Forum last night, and you've been hearing about that event as part of WEMU News this morning, so we're going to talk about some of the other news from this week as well on this edition of The State of Politics. Rick, as the candidates make their way from forums and back into Lansing in the campaign season, what can we expect from them?
We're looking ahead to the coming week in the legislature, and the big news will probably be the House and the Senate voting after decades of Republican and business efforts to repeal prevailing wage rules. These are rules that the state has and at least a couple dozen local governments in Michigan that require government contractors, and we're usually talking about construction companies, to pay the prevailing union wage level when they get a government contract. There are some conservative, you know, free market groups that have opposed this for a long time, but they've never been able to get it across the finish line.
Yeah, in fact, later today, the State Board of Canvassers is expected to formally approve that balanced language, which would allow for the votes at some point next week in both the House and the Senate. How has the Democratic reaction on the island been to news that this is the likelihood?
You know, that Democrats would love to stop this, and if they're going to, they think that their best hope is in the State House of Representatives, where we've got more people, more Republicans who are either seeking re-election or running for another office. And there are some practical political concerns that blue-collar white male workers went largely for Donald Trump in the last election. And there are concerns amongst some Republicans that this might alienate a key element of the coalition they need to keep together if they're going to have hopes of surviving what's expected to be a blue wave come November. So we will see what happens there. But this, again, has been a longtime Republican goal, and the Republican leadership in the legislature at least thinks that they have the votes to get this initiative adopted. And don't forget that because it is a petition initiative, that this does not have to be signed by the governor. The governor opposes the repeal of prevailing wage, but he doesn't get a voice in this.
And Rick, what's the latest on marijuana? I know there was a 40-day deadline for the legislature to act. Is that going to happen?
The deadline comes up next week, and while Senate Republican leaders were hoping to have the legislature vote on the initiative, that is apparently not going to happen. They wanted to vote on it because if the legislature adopts it, then they can change the marijuana law with a simple majority of the legislature. If it goes to the ballot, then it requires a 3/4 supermajority in both the House and the Senate. However, the support is not there among House Republicans, at least not enough to get a vote. So that means that in all likelihood, the deadline is going to pass next week and the marijuana question is going to the ballot.
The State of Politics with Rick Plute of the Michigan Public Radio Network continues on 89.1 WEMU. Rick is on Mackinac Island for the Regional Chamber's annual policy conference. Line 5 protesters were there, Rick, to greet attendees this week and demand the Enbridge Line 5 pipeline be shut down. Did that showing create any movement in either policy or sentiment?
I would say that it probably has not changed any minds or moved any policymaking. However, the governor and others up here felt like they at least had to address the issue. You might hear the horses on the background. I'm actually standing on the porch of the Grand Hotel with a view of the Straits. So a lot
Well,
of
your view is certainly better than ours.
Well, it is a nice view. But a lot of this is literally taking place with the Straits of Mackinac as a backdrop. So, you know, the governor said that he's waiting on a couple of reports. One is a safety study. The other is an alternative study. And he said that that will probably be released sometime in July, that he's going to wait on those before he makes a decision. And the governor and legislative leaders at a news conference to talk about the state throwing some money at upgrading the Sioux Locks, which is a big infrastructure priority, also announced that in the surplus that we're expecting, the budget surplus, that there's not just going to be money for roads, for school safety to put into the state's rainy day savings, but they're also setting aside some for some unnamed purpose, toward making Line 5 safer.
And that's going to be interesting to see how those studies come out. Again, due in the month of July. In the interim, the governor has put a temporary ban on ships dropping anchor in the Straits of Mackinac in hopes of avoiding another incident in which Line 5 was damaged. Now, you mentioned that...
Well, they negotiate with the Coast Guard on a permanent rule to ban dropping anchor in the Straits.
Right. As you mentioned, Governor Snyder and legislative leaders also agreed to that $50 million in the state budget to seed the effort to raise $1 billion or more to modernize the Sioux locks.
Yeah, the idea with the $50 million is so this project has been hanging around since the 1980s. And even though Congress has authorized a new lock, it's never funded a new lock. And so what's going on is right now in the Sioux locks, there's only one that's 1,000 feet long. And that's what it takes to handle modern freighters that take the St. Lawrence Freeway from the Atlantic Ocean into the Great Lakes. And the concern is that it's a logjam, and if heaven forbid something happened to that single lock, that would basically shut down shipping into the Great Lakes, which would have just vast economic consequences.
Not only for Michigan, but the nation,
That when you talk about getting, you know, raw materials to manufacturers, that it would just be devastating. And so President Trump raised hopes in April when he was in Macomb County and announced that we're going to get that project going. And so what the state is doing is saying, like, okay, well, we expect it's going to be about $1 billion, $900 million to $1 billion. The federal government, if they fund it, should pick up about 80% of that cost. We're going to throw down $50 million going toward the rest of the 20%. Hopefully we will get other states that have a direct stake in this project to throw in. Hopefully we'll get some private sector support as well. Now that President Trump has spoken, that they want to get that ball moving.
Now, I wouldn't be the first to point out that President Trump has on occasion changed his minds and changed directions, and sometimes rather suddenly. So with this $50 million as seed money, is the real hope to inspire those other partners?
Well, you know what? You work with the hand that you're dealt, and now that President Trump has publicly come out for this, the state's hand is a lot better than it was.
When the conference wraps up, you're going to come home, and we will then enter into this period where over the next week or two, the state budget is going to be finalized. At least that is the plan, right?
Yes. You know, it's been an innovation of the Snyder years that the state budget gets done in before July 1st, which is when universities, school districts, local governments, community colleges, they all have fiscal years that begin then on July 1st, unlike the state, which has a fiscal year that begins on October 1st. And what Rick Snyder said is one of the things we're going to do is all of these entities that rely on state funding will know what their state funding is going to be when they begin their fiscal years. And so that would be the target.
And there's a little extra motivation for those who are running for office and want to get back out on the campaign trail pretty quickly.
It is definitely an ancillary benefit.
Well, thank you, Rick, and safe travels home.
Okay.
That is Rick Pluta, Managing Editor and Capital Bureau Chief of the Michigan Public Radio Network. He's our partner for The State of Politics. Me, I'm David Fair, and this is 89.1 WEMU-FM and WEMU-HD1 Ypsilanti.